welcome to Hot Flashes and Cool Topics. I'm Bridget.
And I'm Colleen.
And we are so happy to be back after the holidays. And Colleen, how was your holiday?
It was awesome. Happy 2020. I think I spent New Year's with you. Yes, I did.
Yes.
But I had the kids home. For us, it was a very quiet holiday. It was
okay.
The five of us, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I might have gone a little bit overboard with the Christmas presents
this year. Yeah, who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah.
And we did a little gingerbread competition on Christmas Eve. So the kids, we watch a lot of the Food Network.
Oh. So
we did that, and we had a really nice holiday. And, you know, I'm the type of person, December 26th, decorations come down.
Oh.
Unfortunately, my oldest daughter had her wisdom teeth removed,
yeah.
So there was a delay. But I love putting decorations up early, and then I love taking them down early. Oh, my gosh. Now, I know you had a full house.
Oh,
so
my goodness. I did. It was great to see everybody. I just loved having my children home. My son was home for almost 2 weeks. My daughter was home for about a week. I hated to see them go. I got teary-eyed taking them each to the airport, but I'm okay. But I had my husband.
I'm okay now.
I'm okay. I mean, I still miss them. I'm trying to plan, like they said, have something to look forward to.
Right.
So I'm trying to plan something else. But my husband's family came in, and so we had 10 people staying at this house, and it was funny. From the youngest was 6, the oldest was 75, and
that's a nice little range.
It was a nice range. It was hilarious. It was loud. At certain points, I was so exhausted that I went back to the room just to rest, and all of a sudden, my daughter sneaks back there with her computer and gets on the bed just like, I just need, you know, to look up stuff. She did work from home, mm-hmm. and my little niece that's 6 really wanted to play with her and went up to her finally and said, why did you take this job? She did not want her working.
She doesn't understand the concept of needing money.
Right. But I cooked one big meal this year, and then we went out to eat for the rest of the meals, and that worked really well.
So getting everybody together in a couple of cars was okay.
Yeah. I mean, we really, 2 cars, it worked, and it worked out pretty good. And so my in-laws left. They took the little girls with them to babysit, and then my brother-in-law and his wife stayed an extra day. So it kind of, you know, a little bit quieter, but I do love having the little nieces around. My son taught the 6-year-old how to skateboard.
Oh,
it was so cute. She loves him so much. It just everything that he does. And then the 10-year-old, we played Ticket to Ride, taught her how to play that game.
I don't know that game.
Oh, it's really a neat game. And so I was really proud of her because she really, it takes some thinking.
Mm-hmm.
She really got into it.
Oh, okay.
Then the 6-year-old also got a little drone that flies in the house. And all it does is create wind. And at the end of our game, the wind came and knocked all our trains off of it.
Oh, no.
And I had to quell, using my teacher skills, the thing, because I thought the 10-year-old was going to really lose it then. But we were like, oh, I think you won because you had the this and that anyway.
Isn't it great? And then you're like, and you're not staying here for too long.
Oh, yes.
So you win.
Yes. Yeah.
You win.
You win.
Oh, so sounds like you had a nice full house.
We did. And then you and I and some of our friends went to eat dinner on Christmas Eve.
Or
not Christmas
Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. And we're back in our homes. By
10:30.
We watched the ball drop in our jammies, my husband and I did.
Well, you know, we're on the Central Standard Time,
mm-hmm.
so I feel like if I can stay up for Eastern Standard Time, I've achieved
the
midnight.
Yes,
you know, the
yes.
ball dropped, even though technically it's 11 here.
Right.
It's 12 somewhere.
That's right.
So we did that. And now it's 2020, the
yeah.
roaring. I love how everybody's calling it the roaring 20s.
I know, again.
That's weird.
I wouldn't mind. I don't want to bring back Prohibition. No, we can leave that away. But I do love the way they dress.
I was going to say the flapper dresses are great.
You know, if I looked good at them, I would wear them. So I do like that.
So that's something to look forward to.
Right.
Well, speaking of 2020, we have some new things coming up on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be expanding a little bit on our YouTube channel so that we will be doing some roundtable discussions.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've mentioned this before, but it's a little more specific now. We are going to be having guests that talk about their personal experiences, from some of the topics that we've had on the podcast that we haven't really been able to completely finish the topic. Well, not that they're ever finished, really, but to kind of delve in a little deeper with and, other people's experiences, not just ours. Mm-hmm. So the first one is going to be this month. We'll be taping one on empty nesting. And we actually have a really nice group of women that one is about to be an empty nester. One is was a divorced empty nester. Mm-hmm. Bridget and I both have our own experiences with empty nesting. And then we also have Nancy, who has been an empty nester for quite some time.
Right.
It's going to be a really nice group of women. We're going to talk about their experiences, share some great advice, especially for the almost empty nester mom. Yes. I think that Karen's going to need that.
Yeah.
And we're going to tape it and post it up on YouTube. We'll share all that information on our social media, but we hope you start to engage in YouTube and watching it.
Right.
Another thing we wanted to mention was on January 1st, we posted a How to Find a Podcast YouTube video.
YouTube video.
I was sick, so be kind to me. But I walked in, I'm like, oh, let me just talk now. But it was really, we hear from a lot of people saying, we would watch or we would want to listen to your podcast. We don't know how to find that.
Right. And they don't know about the subscribing and all of that. And in the algorithm world, all that little subscribe button adds up and gets us out there to more people.
Right. So we broke it down in very simplistic ways. And when I say simplistic, it means the way we understand it. Here's the color button to press on, you know, a iPhone. Here's the button to press on an Android. Mm-hmm. Go on the computer and find us here or there. So look out for that. That will help you find us on YouTube and podcasts, wherever they are hosted. And also on our blog. We will be doing a lot more blogging this year. Mm-hmm. That would be me. We'll be doing
I may start doing that. I'll just see. She's the YouTuber.
She's really good at it.
But I may, you know, I am not real good at getting my thoughts on paper.
But you're really good at doing videos. So you're kind of the video queen.
But it's funny. Just like I think in high school, my teacher said, my literature teacher or also English writing teacher, she said, your paper's great. You know, she gave me the great grades because I met the requirement on it, but she told me it was sterile.
No.
And I think I kind of blocked it trying to write down how I really feel for some reason.
Right. Well, that might be a good New Year's.
Yes.
I won't say resolution because I hate resolutions.
Right.
Just something to do.
Yeah.
But our point is that we are going to be out a lot more in the social media world. You are going to see us. You're going to find us. Hopefully, you will share us. Mm-hmm. Again, the podcast, Hot Flashes Cool Topics, is found on any podcast forum that you are looking for, iTunes and Stitcher and you name it. Mm-hmm. We're on it. And then also, our website is hotflashescooltopics.com. Our Instagram is Hot Flashes and Cool Topics. So is our Facebook. I have to say, getting a little Twitter obsessed.
Are you?
Yeah, I really think I am. And it's just, there's a great community of bloggers and YouTubers and podcasters out there.
Right, there are.
And that's kind of where I'm staying. I'm staying in my lane. I'm not getting out into the other world of craziness. But I'm kind of really enjoying discovering all these amazing things. So check us out on it's at Cool Flashes on Twitter. Please follow us there. And finally, on Pinterest, it's at H Cool Topics.
Oh, okay.
So that's where you can find us on
there. And we've shared this on the video that was released on January 1st. And so we are getting ready to introduce the Empty Nest Coach.
Yes, on this episode, we are going to be interviewing your Empty Nest Coach, Christine,
who is...
You know, we didn't even realize that there were coaches for empty nesting.
Right.
What a great idea to have someone who can kind of prepare you ahead of time for what's about to happen. Because a lot of women, and men too, but mostly women, will say, let me just get my child at school and then I will deal with myself and my emotions afterwards. And that is a mistake. Mm-hmm. That's just not a good way to handle it because you're not... it's going to be an overflow of emotions that you don't even realize you're going to have. And I think Bridget's spoken about how they kind of flooded her and she wasn't ready.
And it still gets me.
Right. And every time they leave, I mean, my youngest is getting ready to go back to school in 2 days. And just the idea of her getting in that car, I can't even go there.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an empty nest coach out there that can help you kind of talk through it. And so we have interviewed her. She's going to be, she was wonderful. She's going to be talking to us about some things to remember when you're getting ready to become an empty nester, things that she can share in her experience. We're going to have all her information on our show notes. And again, it's Your Empty Nest Coach. Her name is Christine, and we are excited to share this interview with you. So let's go.
So how did you kind of get started in this?
It's so funny. I'm one of those multi-potentialite people who have had multiple careers, and I stopped working for when my daughter started school. We homeschooled off and on, and due to her education needs, I ended up homeschooling more often than not. She ended up going to college, community college early. She skipped some grades and went to college early.
I was amazed by when you said that she went to college at 14. Mm-hmm. Well, really earlier than that, but went to actual college at 14.
Yes, like away, not 20 minutes away, like out of state. This is like 5 hours away. Wow. And I had been thinking about, in my mind, my plan for my life was, you know, when she's 18 or 19, I will slowly, you know, it's when she's 16, I'll slowly start entering the workforce, figure out if I'm going to go back to tech or what am I going to do. And suddenly I had about a year's notice, but that was all focused on her, you know, college app, getting her in. I have to drive her everywhere to her, to her age. So none of it was thinking about me until suddenly one day I'm at a party and someone says, "Oh, you're going to be an empty nester early. I'm so jealous." And my heart like just sank. I was
what? Like, wait a second.
Because I'm so focused on what her needs are. And that's, you know, that's what it should be. I was very happy for her. But then I was like, oh, yes, my whole identity is her. So I had this confusing time where I thought, okay, I need to help pay for college. I need to work. What's that going to look like? What do I want to do? So I started back to work as an admin. It's perfect for my personality type because I don't like to be bored and I like different jobs. So admin works really well for me. And at the same time, I was like, I always wanted to coach women. There is nothing I love more than seeing somebody empowered in their life and to encouraging them and challenging them to look at their situation a little differently. Because a lot of times I find it fascinating that you can have three people in the same situation and one will be positive, one will be negative. And it's just fascinating to me. So I didn't know what to focus on, to be quite honest. People had said you should do gifted education, you should do homeschooling, you should do. And this just rose to the top for me. It was very close to home at the time. I got to experience all of the college application process and quickly had to get through it. And then friends started to come to me and like, okay, so you had to go through this even earlier than me. How did you function through the change? So it just kind of rose to the top. And one day I'm like, this is going to be it. It's going to be it.
And really, it was a natural progression.
It really was. I love it. Love it.
Mm. How personally did you deal with, okay, you dropped her off at school, you came home, the house was empty. What was the first thing you thought or did?
Well, it's interesting because I did start to kind of coach myself before then, which is kind of the reason why I focus on entering the empty nest. It is my focus more than, you know, 10 years in, is that I figure if I can catch mom early, then when they come home, they'll be in good shape to actually, and this is what I was at a point that I could do, is I could actually sit in my feelings and process them. Right. And get to the other side of them, which I think us as women, we are so busy taking care of our families and we're so busy focused on them that when we have quiet moments, it's very uncomfortable. So we like to stay busy. Mm-hmm. We like to jump into the next thing. So the one thing I've learned through all this is just to, it's okay to try things. It's also really important to process through those feelings. Like I'm sad today, and to claim it and get to the other side because you're strong enough to do that. And I think a lot of us are too afraid to actually experience the emotions. And we're not taught to do that either.
Right, exactly.
Right.
We're just keep moving.
Yeah.
Really. And having a list, I've heard some of your podcasts and I love the idea of having lists of things to do to come back. But as you're doing that, I love to actually just, you know, also note the feelings you feel and to get to the other side because it all helps together.
Yeah. Like I also feel like sometimes if you feel sad, you know, I like that you say, you know, it's okay, validate it, have that moment. Because sometimes it looks like people act like that's a flaw, that you're sad about that. That's not really a flaw. That's just something you're going to go through.
Or that it's somehow selfish because your kids are doing what they need to do and flying the nest. Mm-hmm. It's not keeping them from doing what they need to do, but it's okay to feel your own feelings. Just you don't have to feel guilty about being sad.
Right. That's the other, the guilt that comes. Like I think the more free time we have then the guilt pops in. Like some of us are really happy about the emptiness, but then there's guilt associated with that. Like we shouldn't feel that way.
Right.
And
it's true.
Yeah. Naming it and being okay with it is just so helpful. It's where the power starts to switch. And you guys are completely right. The emptiness is phenomenal. Like we are not done with life at this point. Like no way.
Yeah.
And I do think that in our generation, one of the reasons why we started our podcast was there was just this time frame where you weren't quite retired and grandparents, but you had finished the process of having children at home. And it's a huge area now that women are busy. We're still working. We're still productive. We're still offering stuff to the world, but nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
It's like this kind of quiet area chapter that is empty. It's not written yet. So we were like, all right, we'll figure that, you know. Yeah.
And we brought up before how I don't recall when we were younger, empty nest being
a syndrome
or a thing.
Yes.
When I was a teenager, I don't recall hearing that.
Right, exactly.
So much.
What is the what do you find the most common thing that women come to you and say, okay, I'm officially an empty nester, I'm about to become an empty nester. What am I most afraid of? What's the common fear?
The common question and fear is, what am I going to do with my time? Like hands down, that is the question. Okay. But like, I'm going to get home and what am I going to do? I need you to help me figure out what that thing is. And I'm like, tomorrow? We need to work on this.
Right now, give it some time.
Yes.
What do you suggest to them?
So as I've talked to you guys about, I am not a quick fix person. So I like to work through noticing your thoughts because they're so powerful. They're incredibly powerful. They can change your entire outlook on everything. And my suggestion is to start with yourself. And as you begin to separate your identity from your children, if you have that issue is to be super kind to yourself. Like if I could give one and only one piece of advice and you're like, you can't say anything else, that would be my thing is to notice what's going on in your mind. And sometimes you need to write it down because you're not even aware of the narrative that you have in your head. And a lot of times it's stuff that you would never ever say to another human being on the planet. Mm-hmm. It's just cruel. Right. You know?
Exactly. You notice that you'll say things to yourself in your mind that you would never say to another person.
You're right. That's a great point.
I mean, it really is. If you write down and you think, okay, would I say this to my child? And you're horrified. Like you should not say that to yourself.
No, you're right.
So I think that for me, like if I had to pick one thing to start on, that would be it. So it's just, to check your thoughts, be very patient with everyone in the house. So everyone has a different dynamic when they get home. You know, you might be a single mom and you have to deal with a quiet house. You might have a partner, you might have younger children, and each person in that house, including the animals, are dealing with change. Mm-hmm. And anytime you have the change in the routine, you just have to be patient with each other because we're not always good at communicating what we think is going on in our heads to one another. And what plans we have to one another. So like your husband might have a really specific plan on what this is going to look like and yours might be here. So you have to figure out if you're on the same page and be patient as you figure that out again.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense because we have talked about how sometimes, and it might be one spouse or the other, one is devastated and the other one's kind of happy.
Yes.
And you have to have empathy for both positions and find a common ground where, okay, let's go visit the kids maybe this weekend, but let's
not every weekend. Yeah.
Let's go watch, as Bridget likes to say, let's go watch football because she hates football.
I love that.
I will go. I'm going tomorrow to another football game.
That's fantastic.
But I'll do it. You know, so there is compromise. And my husband, he's very open to like, okay, you go do your thing. You want to start a podcast? Good for you. Go.
Yes, so, they've been very supportive of our that. Have you found that you started dating your husband again after?
Yeah, it's very nice. And it doesn't have to look like everyone else's date either. You know, that's, I think, the important thing is you figure out what works best for you. And we're both pretty introverted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one night a week going out to dinner is great for us. You know, we talk and that's perfect. So I think just figuring out what it is that works for you.
What works for you. Because it really is a new chapter. It's, we had so many thoughts and aspirations and things that didn't disappear, but kind of went by the wayside when our priorities changed. It's not like we gave up anything. We didn't. Mm-hmm. But our priorities and our focus changed. And I think some people forget that there were still things that existed
before.
Can still, it's not too late. You're not too old. It's not
100%.
And to pick up things you know, maybe that you had wanted or that you did, but just didn't have time for, and you go back to them. Like, I'm back to tennis.
It can be simple things. It doesn't simple have things. To be.
Absolutely.
I'm always wanted to try. Yes.
Yes. So there's two, it's funny, two things came up for me as you were talking. And one is the fact that the patience thing when we come home, mm-hmm. I like to compare it to, we've had 18 or 19 years for most of us to get to where we are today, right? So the transition's been really slow. But the moment like they move out permanently or they're in college, it's almost like that transition of when you take them back from the hospital or you bring them home for the first time because it's huge. It's huge. Yeah. And most people, you know, they just say they're happy or they're sad and it's left at that and no one talks about it. But that is a big transition overnight to just go from them being in the bedroom to like, they're not.
Yeah. Right.
You can't just talk to them. I mean, yes, we have text, but it's a whole new world. So being patient with that is really important. And the other thing is, as for finding ourselves, I just think we're so used to over those 18 years that moms in particular, most of us are really good at just hiding everything that we want to do because we need to take care of everyone else. So it's almost like just layers and layers and it's all pushed down. So we don't know who we are. And that's a scary thing. So I think for a lot of us, you almost don't want to find who you are because you're kind of afraid, you know? So noticing that and having somebody like a coach or a friend that you can talk to remind you that you're crazy amazing in all those layers. You pull, I love that line because I truly believe it. Like, you think about how much stuff we do is, humans are amazing, really.
That's true. Right.
But it's so easy to forget because we get caught up in, you know, things or we make like our child's grade is our identity and, you know, things like that, that it's just, you need an outsider.
On social media.
I know.
Which, but you are proud of your kid. I get that.
But there are, you know, to that point, there are a lot of people that spend years being the coach, being the one at school all the time, being the one who kind of, I don't want to say vicariously lives through their child, but loses their identity to a certain extent because their identity becomes so intertwined with what their child's doing. And then all of a sudden the child keeps going and that person's like, what happened?
You know? Yes. And have you noticed this too, is sometimes like, let's say it could be sports or musical, whatever your child is doing, they go off to college. And you're used to going to all those events at the high school where you see all the parents that you have that commonality. Yes. So suddenly there's this other void that, you know, some of us might be lucky enough to have those, or you may realize that's all you had in common. and it wasn't your thing. It was your thing. Yeah.
And it's harder to make friends sometimes because your social group changes too. There's so many facets. Like you said, it's so life changing when your child leaves because they keep going on. And a lot of your aspects just aren't there anymore.
Right.
You know?
I noticed I would really get in my head about things like these control issues. And I even felt like, okay, they're in college, but I still, you know, control the money, you know, right. that goes to them. I control where they are living to an extent. And then they graduate and then there's no control. So it's like,
so once they're on the payroll?
Yes. Last year, my daughter graduated from college, my youngest, last year, a year ago. And, you know, she's off, she has her own job. And now I'm like, I have no control over my children at all, which I shouldn't be so controlling. I shouldn't.
No, but I think it's a natural thing. It's a protection thing.
It was a protection I would get in my head thinking, okay, I've still got them for right now. And I'm like, I don't have them. What am I talking about? They're their own people. But it, to me, it was all in my head, all this control. So this year has even been like another phase of the empty nest because they both are gone. They both have graduated without, you know, so that's really a crazy big thing. My third phase of it. Yes.
And it's totally, it's, you think about it, it's what you, your whole goal is to have them be a functioning human being. Yes. So they don't need you often. And then you're like,
Do you find, because we had spoken about this before, that some of the empty nesters are worried that they didn't do enough, that they didn't prepare their child properly, or they didn't teach them everything they needed to fly?
Yes, I think this is huge. Like, it's sometimes in the quiet, it's if you're not paying attention to your thoughts, it's easy to jump into the past and what you could have done that was differently. And here's my philosophy on that. If somebody's having trouble with that, is that unless you're a time traveler, a magician, unless you have a TARDIS and you can go back in time and change it, what you did was perfect because you did it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly. And you need to be like, that's what happened. We're good. And we can handle things from here because we can't change it.
Right. Exactly. And I know sometimes I'll say you did the best with the conscious level of understanding you had at the time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what you're right. It's so much of it is how you were raised. And some people go, I want to do the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. And other people are like, I'm going to do it exactly the same. And you end up, they blame you for something anyway.
Right. That's my other theory, is they're always going to blame mom anyway. So it's okay.
One of the things that I did not want to miss out on while we were talking was that I love the story of the green popsicle sticks. Mm-hmm. And how, because it really does make it very simple and basic as to how many different layers. Can you talk a little bit about, I don't want to tell too much, but basically that you're holding up the foundation, but there are other things that you wish you could go and experiment with.
Yeah. So my fable, as I've named it, is the green popsicle stick. And is that us as mothers, and it could be in any transition of your life really, is that, but mothers in particular, we are the green popsicle stick. And we have many other green, like, popsicle sticks around us that we support. So it's like a structure. So I imagine it as if we're the base popsicle stick, and the other sticks are our children, our partner, you know, people we work with, and all of these roles and ideas that we have on us. And we feel like if we do something for us and we jump out, the whole structure is going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. They can't function. And we see other women do it. And this is, I've noticed with humans, other people do it. We're like, well, they can't do it. You know, they're doing it because of this. And you have these excuses in your head. And eventually, if you actually, like, you're the green popsicle stick and you wiggle and you start to move, you'll realize that your structures, they might move and rebalance and, you know, form into different shapes. Mm-hmm. But that's good for them. Some are going to complain. Some are going to love the view. Some are going to just be like, okay, nothing happened because green popsicle stick mom, quote unquote, handles everything. She's going to take care of it. So mom might be brave enough to move a little, but then if you actually are brave enough to step out of the entire structure as the green popsicle stick and be strong and figure out what you want to do, your structure gets to form who they need to be. And they even can form stronger relationships and their own lives because you've stepped out of it. You've allowed them to find more who they are. And then you find other women who are in the same boat. And by finding people who have commonalities, you get stronger and you're able to see who you're meant to be. And it might not be that person that you thought you were going to be at 12. Because I do hear a lot of advice of, who did you want to be at 12? Like, I can't even imagine. But what you do want to tap into is that creativity of
right,
the,
which is a great point.
The mentality of that younger, when you could imagine being a dinosaur farmer on the moon, you mm-hmm. want that part of you to come out and start to dream again. Mm-hmm. And then as you are alone as the green popsicle stick, you get brighter and stronger. And actually, how do I not have one? I always,
oh, yeah, I
yes, I do. I always have one with me. And my idea is that once you figure out what your purpose is, you write it on it and you can keep it with you to remind you what your purpose is. And that can change. Sometimes mm-hmm. it changes over time. It doesn't have to be one thing. Right. So yeah, that's my, and then the GPS then stands for the GPS of your life, because once you're brave enough to step out and figure it out, you're not necessarily coming to me for guidance. You're looking to yourself for mm-hmm. guidance. And that's my ultimate goal, is that women are empowered and to know themselves enough that they trust themselves and they can also show their children how to do this.
Right. Because they do, our kids follow our example.
They do.
Too. And you don't even, until they become adults and you start to see yourself in them so much more, you don't realize how influenced they are by your subtle decisions.
Right.
Less what you told them, but more how you acted, how you responded to
your
a
reaction.
Problem,
yeah.
how you mm-hmm. worked through solutions. It's really amazing to watch them grow into little versions of.
Yeah.
I know, all the things you don't like about yourself, right?
Exactly. And really then they have amazing. Aspects where you're like, where did you get that?
Yes.
That is so opposite all of us.
Right.
Yes. I want to talk about two more. I don't want to run out of time. So I want to talk about two more things. First off, if someone wants to get in touch with you and talk to you and is about to go through this empty nest process, we'll have it in the show notes, but could you let them know first? So that
absolutely. So my website is youremptynestcoach.com. And then I have all my contact there. I hang out the most on Instagram. So you can follow me on Instagram and message me there.
So
I'm also on LinkedIn
stories.
A lot. What's that?
Great stories on Instagram.
Thank you. I do try to do dailies and remind you that you're amazing, because you are. And my email is christine@youremptynestcoach.com.
Okay. Awesome. And then I also want to talk to you about, you have some new things coming in 2020 like we do. We were talking about how we're going to add some YouTube videos, but you're going to be doing some quick tip learning with some guests. And can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I'm so excited about this, because as you probably get the idea, I'm more like, let's change your whole life. So my tips are not quick necessarily. I like to start there, but it's a lot of work for what I am sharing with you. And I have been lucky enough to meet amazing women. So I have, let me look real quick. I have 12 women who I've asked to be on this quick tips team. And there are some that are, one just talks about humorous observations, because I think reminding us that life needs to be funny and to laugh is very important in any stage of our life. I have beauty. I have somebody who is talking about planning an organization, decluttering, traveling light. We have some admission independent counselors and scholarship people. So I'm really excited. They've all said yes. There's 12 of them. And on Tuesdays, we're going to do these little quick tips episodes on at least twice a month. So I'm excited about it.
Yes, that's great.
Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. It's been wonderful.
Yeah.
And you've helped and you've given some great tips. And we're, like I said, we're all trying to just change the narrative a little bit about empty nesting, that there are things to look forward to and it's not doom and gloom.
Right.
You know, you miss your kids like crazy. Mm-hmm. Or in my case, they just come back.
Well,
right.
Now,
I know.
Right now, my son's visiting, or he'll leave next week. My daughter comes in later today. So I'm so excited. But it is so funny, the little things. Like, I have to run my dishwasher every day now.
Yes.
Like, the garbage needs to be emptied more often.
Exactly. It's louder.
It's louder. Just little things. But it's fine. And right now, I'm in a moment of zen, a moment of bliss. And,
enjoy it.
The next
it
few
change.
Days are going to be great. Now I have other family coming in, and I'm a little selfish because I want my children to myself.
Fine, I think
just
that
to be
sense.
My husband. And I only have a few days. So I have to get out of my head. I'm kind of in my head right now.
She needs to get out of her head.
I need to get
you
out.
You will have enough time.
I will have
you
enough
will
time.
You will enjoy the time you have with them.
Just
there
present.
You go.
I think being present is the best gift we can give ourselves in the holidays. Absolutely. You never know what next year is going to bring. So that's be present right. in the moment yes, now.
That's
true,
right.
True, true, true. Yes. Thanks for having me. I love your show.
Have a great holiday.
Thank you. You too.
That was wonderful. And I really want to thank Christine for being a guest of ours on Hot Flashes and Cool Topics. I learned so much, and I really am going to be kinder to myself when I'm dealing with the empty nest issues.
Exactly. That was a very big idea for her is kindness. So we hope you guys take that into the new year. If you would like to subscribe to our podcast, please remember to go on to any of the podcast forums and click subscribe under Hot Flashes and Cool Topics. Our social media, Facebook and Instagram, are Hot Flashes and Cool Topics. Our website is hotflashescooltopics.com. And if you want to get in touch with us by email, it's hotflashescooltopics@gmail.com.
And we also have a Twitter site and Pinterest and YouTube page. So we'd love
we're
to have
everywhere.
You. Yeah, we're everywhere. Follow or subscribe wherever you can.
So have a great day, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks.